Father, we thank you this morning that we can come here and we can stand in your presence and we can claim with all assurance, based on our acceptance of Christ as Savior, that we belong to you, that we are your children, that we are your treasured possession, that you are with us every step of the way and everything that we go through in this life, and that in the process, even as we go through all these things, you are using us to spread the fragrance of the knowledge of your Son and bring salvation to mankind. And we just thank you this morning. We praise you that we may be cast down but never defeated, and so many other things that our brother, the Apostle Paul, has written here in this passage we've read this morning. Lord, help us to look up this morning. Help us to realize that as your people, we are never defeated. You allow us to go through all kinds of things, but in it all, we're triumphant, and in it all, your work is being done, and your purposes are being achieved, and that is what it is all about. So, Lord, help us to get our minds off of ourselves and our eyes off of ourselves, and let us be looking to you, Lord, and just praising you and thanking you that in the midst of every circumstance and change, you remain faithful. We give you all the praise and all the glory through our Lord Jesus. And it's in his name we pray. And God's people said, amen. You may be seated. I told you we'll be speaking for a number of weeks from the book of 2 Corinthians. I don't know how many, and these are not in any particular order, and they're not necessarily directly connected to each other, but there will be a series of messages from 2 Corinthians. So in your private Bible reading, you may want to spend some time in 2 Corinthians for the next month or two, so that when you come on Sunday morning and we read these various passages, you'll already kind of be familiar with them and already have some idea of what the apostle is talking about. Of course, this is his second letter to the Corinthians. And we talked last time about the encouragement that we get from the Lord and how that through that encouragement, we are encouraged. And then the Lord enables us to encourage someone else who is going through something similar. And then they, in turn, are able to encourage someone else who is going through something similar. And so the difficulties and the trials which leads to the encouragement results in many, many, many people being encouraged along the way. And we talked about how that the distresses we go through prepare us for ministry, because if we don't know how other people are hurting, we can see them, but that doesn't mean we know how they're hurting. And if we have been hurt ourselves and through the hurt, instead of nursing the hurt and saying, oh me, oh my, we can talk about the wonderful encouragement and comfort we have received from the Lord and how the Lord can do the same thing in their life. Amen? And then as they are encouraged through that encouragement, they are able to go out and encourage somebody else. Somebody calls that, I think, a chain reaction. And I tell you what, that is the best chain reaction there is. I don't like that chain reaction where there's something negative, some story gets started, and then people start getting on the Facebook and the internet and the telephone and spreading it all around. Did you hear this? And did you hear that? And did you hear the other? I don't like those kind of chain reactions. But if there's somebody that's been hurting and they've been encouraged in the Lord and now they're encouraging somebody else, and then they, in turn, are able to encourage somebody else, that's the kind of chain reaction the Lord likes. Amen? Now, in this passage this morning, the Apostle Paul's writing to them. He said, I had first thought I was going to come to see you all first. Then I was going to go up to Macedonia. And then I was going to catch you all on the way back so that we could kind of get a two-for-one. But he said, I had a change of plans. And when I got to Troas, there was an open door of opportunity for me. But because my brother Titus wasn't there, I didn't think that we could really achieve what the objective was. So I had a last-minute change of plans that I could not have anticipated before that. And so I bid farewell to them, and instead I went to Macedonia. Then I come to see you. Then I went back by way of Macedonia. Now he said, when I told you all that I had planned to come and do it this way, was I just being fickle? Was I just making plans the way that people make them? Or did I really mean what I said? And then he gets on into the thing of being truthful in what he said. It was truthful. This really was his intention. But how many know here this morning that no matter how well you lay the plans, sometimes there's a last-minute change of plans that you could not have counted on? And isn't it good to know that something like that even happened to the Apostle Paul, the man who's filled with the Holy Spirit, the man who the Lord directs at every path, the man that the Lord uses to pen 13 books of the New Testament, the man that they took handkerchiefs from his body and laid them on the oppressed and the sick and they were delivered. This man encounters an unexpected change in plans, and so he just keeps on going. He doesn't spend the time, well, I can't believe that Titus has been hung up. I can't believe we're going to have to be sitting around here now waiting for Titus or doing whatever it is that most of us would have been doing. He says, well, let's make good use of the time and let's go on and let's go to Macedonia and keep the work going. And then in the very next verse is that famous verse, but thanks be to God who always leads us in triumphal procession in Christ, and through us spreads everywhere the fragrance of the knowledge of Him. He always causes us to triumph, it says in the King James. I looked it up. Triambulo is the Greek word. And it means, it refers to a triumphal procession. When people would come and they would be marching through the streets, you know, in jubilation over their victory and all of that. But if you look it up in the Strong's dictionary, you'll find out that triambulo is translated three ways. Triumph, to celebrate a triumph, and to cause to triumph. That pretty much covers it, doesn't it? And he says, the Lord Jesus Christ, even if we have a change in plans, even if something changes at the last minute we don't have any control over, even if it looks like at the moment some things on the outside are kind of falling apart, that does not mean that we are defeated. Because wherever we go, the Lord leads us in triumphant procession, and in the process, He is spreading the fragrance of the knowledge of Him everywhere that we go. And this may be a separate sermon, or it may not, but I've been thinking a lot about those fragrances. It's something that you put on. It's something that you can't miss and you can't escape. You may not be able to see it with your eyes, but if you're standing next to somebody in line at the post office and they've got on a real strong perfume, you're not going to be able to miss that perfume. And the other thing about these fragrances is that they linger after the person is gone. I remember down in Cuba, there was this guy that never took a bath and lived, you know, out in the woods or whatever, and he came through town and all the local boys would throw stones at him and he would cuss back at them and everything. But there was one detail about him I didn't know, and that is he had been in the post office for a couple of minutes. I walked in right behind him and I had to go back outside. So fragrances are something that kind of linger after the person has been there. But think about those who carry the word of the Lord, and wherever the Lord takes them, after they're gone, the fragrance of what they've left behind is still there, and it's still going on. Amen? What kind of fragrance do you leave when you leave a building? And I'm speaking spiritual. But the Lord always leads us in triumphant procession. Now this triumphing, it's not like the world. Winners and losers aren't chosen in the kingdom of God the way the world does. The world says it's the one that's the best dressed, has the best bank account, can come across the best, project themselves the best, has the least problems, everything's in control. These are the winners. But that's not the way it is in the kingdom of God. I've been thinking about the fact that most of the winners in the kingdom of God would have been considered losers by the world. You can name just about any one of them. You can take the Apostle Paul. He's driven from one town to another. He goes and he preaches for a few weeks in the synagogue. Then after they kick him out, then he goes down the street and continues his teaching. Then later on, somebody spreads a rumor, there's a riot, and he has to go to the next town. Then he goes through the same process. We go to the synagogue, a few people get saved, then we go and we take the gospel to the Gentiles, and then somebody comes from the neighboring town, stirs the people up, there's another riot, and then that's how he wound up in Corinth, because he had just been thrown out of about three other towns, Philippi, because he had the audacity to cast out an evil spirit out of a young slave girl who could tell people's fortunes. And then wound up in jail with Silas, and then they go down to Thessalonica, and they're thrown out of there. And so he winds up in Athens, and ultimately in Corinth, the people he's now writing to. And this guy was such a jailbird, I bet he couldn't have gotten clearance to be a custodian at your local Food Lion. And so he would be considered a loser by the world. And then I was thinking about Peter and John going down at the hour of prayer to the temple, and there's a man there, a loser. And Peter really was just a fisherman, wasn't he? A Galilean, whatever. And then think about our Lord Jesus Christ. And somebody wants to come and be his disciple, and he says, well, foxes have dens and birds have nests, but the Son of Man has not where to lay his head. And then I think of the Lord Jesus saying, lay not up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust corrupt and where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust corrupt and where thieves do not break through and steal. And then I think of the Lord Jesus saying to his disciples, whoever would save his life will lose it. And whoever loses his life for my sake will. You see, winners and losers aren't picked the same way in the kingdom of God. Just because we're going through a trial right now, just because times are hard right now, just because we can't find a job right now, just because we've got some health issues right now, just because there's some discord in the family right now that we have no control over, and I could go on down the list, that does not mean that we are losers. It does not mean that we are defeated. Because I can guarantee you that as we walk with the Lord in the middle of all of these things and in the midst of all these things, he's still going to work. Can I hear an amen? He is still going to use us to spread the fragrance of the knowledge of him wherever we go. And it is precisely because sometimes of these very trials that I see how, then when we look back, how that it actually resulted, as he says here, in the gospel being spread just that much further. Because one closed door means what? An open door somewhere else. Before my mom and dad got into Pentecost, he was raised Mennonite. He was in line for the pastorate of a church. He was turned down for that pastorate. That then opened a door where they did. And my mom got out there and told the people, said, the reason this house has burned is because the Lord has called us to go and do home missionary work down in Alabama. And so all the obstacles were out of the way, and so they were able to go there. Then when they were in their early 50s, they felt that the Lord was calling them to Cuba. Neither one of them knew the language, and they were both over 50. And they didn't quite fit the paradigm with the missions board to go. So a special arrangement was made whereby they could go under the auspices of just the Florida Conference of the denomination that they belonged to. And so they wound up in the province of Oriente, not too far from maybe 50 miles from Santiago down there, and teamed up with some Canadian missionaries that were already there, only arriving there in October, and then in January, only to have the head of the missions board come and say, you're going to have to come back. This isn't going to work. This sets a bad precedent. And if we allow this, there may be others that want to go out on their own. So you're going to have to come home. So after just 4 months, they had to come home. And so they regrouped. They joined another group. They got a new support base. They went back to Cuba in the fall of 1956. And the Lord led them to this little mountain town called Manicaragua, where the church was started that's still going on today and that I had the privilege of seeing and visiting again in 2008. And the man that my dad trained is still preaching the gospel today. And I was just thinking last night, if that head of that mission board hadn't come and said, you got to come home 4 months after being on the field, all of that was done in that area where God apparently really wanted them to do the work would never have happened. Do you see what I am talking about? And then after 4 years, suddenly, because of circumstances out of our control, we have to leave Cuba. And by then, Brother Orlando was able to take the work. We spent about 7 months, you might say, in limbo, not knowing what the Lord wanted and not knowing if the door to Cuba would open back up or not. But then it was that fall. In fact, it was August 24, 1961, 50 years ago, on the 21st of this month, 2 weeks from today, will be the 50th anniversary of when we first land in Puerto Rico, and the Lord led them to that little community there on the seacoast near Arecibo, where there is a church standing right now, which I had the opportunity to visit last year, and where so much gospel work was done, and the Word of God was sown in the hearts of so many young people and youth during that time. And if that Cuban door had not closed, there would not be a little church on that hill today. And so I only use those as illustrations so that you can understand that that is also true at the individual level. How many have ever heard that phrase, our disappointments are really His appointments? And that's a fact. And so what we view as a setback in the short term, some unexpected change of plans that we hadn't counted on and that we don't find particularly appealing, let me tell you that God is on His throne. Let me tell you that God is sovereign. And as long as He's sovereign, and as long as you're seeking His will in the middle of that change, in the middle of that might even look like a difficulty, an obstacle, or a temporary defeat, God is going to continue working. His work is going to get done. In fact, work is going to get done that wouldn't have gotten done if that had not happened. And in the end, you're going to be marching in triumph all the way home. So don't measure things by outward appearances. And don't measure things by just what is happening today. We are way too narrow in our interpretation of things because we are so nearsighted. You know, these little glasses I have, well, some people can see what's close up and can't see what's far away. What's that called? Anyway, some of us are that way spiritually. And so we're always seeing just today, just what's around us. No. God has a bigger plan, and as long as we follow Him, as long as we stick with Him, as long as we keep our heart open, He's going to lead us, He's going to guide us, He's going to be with us, and we may look like losers to the world, we may look like losers even to our families every step of the way, but if we're working for the Lord and love the Lord and we're sharing Him wherever we go, there are no losers here. Can I hear an amen? Let me tell you what I think victory really means, ultimate victory. And this is what we're going to close with, and this is our three little things here on the notes today. And you can think about these later. Victory is keeping the faith in every circumstance. We're not beat unless we think we're beat. That's why the enemy's always playing with our mind, trying to make us feel like we're beat. We're not beat. My Bible says that thanks be to God who always, you see that word, always? That doesn't even say most of the time. It says always leads us in triumphal procession in Christ, and who through us spreads everywhere the fragrance of the knowledge of Him. So, We keep the faith in every circumstance. Number two, remaining true to the calling the Lord has given us. I've noticed in lives that I've observed, and I've noticed from the Word of God, the only losers were the ones that got out of the will of God. Do you hear me? The only losers were the ones that got out of the will of God. There are no losers among those who stay true to the calling that God has given them. No matter how hard the road may be, they are still winners because they've remained true to the calling. What about our Lord Jesus Christ? Did he remain true to the calling all the way through the Gethsemane and all the way to the cross? He is our example. He is the author and the finisher of our faith. It says, you haven't sweat any drops of blood yet resisting evil, it says in Hebrew, in the book of Hebrews. Have you? I don't think so. He's our example. Remaining true to the calling the Lord has given us. And three, faithfully completing the task the Lord has assigned us. We're only a loser if we throw in the towel. Quitters are losers. But those who stay with the program, not for appearance's sake, not out of a sense of duty, but because they love the Lord and they know the Lord and they know what their calling is and they stick to it to the end. You're not responsible for the twists in the road and where the road takes you. You're only responsible to stay on the track the Lord has put you on. That's all he asks. That's all he requires. And that you do so until you draw your closing breath. That, my friend, is victory. Faithfully completing the task the Lord has assigned us. That's why I ended with this. I have fought the good fight. This is the Apostle Paul. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Were there some bumps along the way? Absolutely. Just about all the time. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing. Dear friend, dear Christian friend, don't be discouraged because of the short-term difficulties you encounter. If you know the Lord, trust the Lord, rely on the Lord, know what your calling is and stick with it. In the Lord's book, you're a winner. And who do you really answer to anyway? Do you answer to the world? Do you answer to your family? For taking care of them and stuff. But I mean in regards to God's call, in regards to God's will. No, we answer to the Lord. He's the one we answer to. And if he says I'm okay, guess what? Nobody can say the contrary. Read Romans 8, verses 32 and following. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you today. You've made us winners. We are only losers in ourselves, even when we think we've won. But you have made us winners because you have taken us out of our life of sin and you have called us into yourself and you've set us apart and you've equipped us and you've filled us with your Spirit and with your Word, and now you're using us to share your gospel. It may be with some little children in the nursery or in the primary department. It may be with some children in Awana. It may be with the youth. It may be visiting our shut-ins. Lord, whatever, but you're working through us. You're using us, and wherever we go, we're leaving the fragrance of the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. He's the one that we're pointing people to. It's not about us. It's about him. It's about you. It's about your program. And Lord, you will see that every need is met, and you will get us safely home. We are winners in you. We are winners because you have made us so, and it's all because of the cross. Without the cross, we would all be losers forever and ever and ever. But through the cross, you have made us victors. Teach us this truth. Ingrain it in us to the point that we will never doubt it again. And I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.